Welcome aboard the Story Ark. I'm your captain, Kenny Mears, and let's take a voyage together. Few folk stories are as classic as Jack and the Beanstalk. Jack's seeming mistake turned good fortune has been adapted time and time again. Today we have storyteller Julie Barnson here to share this story with us, along with a surprising family connection. Here's Julie.
Hi, my name is Julie Barnson. I have been a professional storyteller for about 20 years, but I've always been a storyteller. I would tell stories for everything, coming home from school, telling my mom about my day, long car rides, camps. I told stories everywhere. And it wasn't until I went to college at BYU that I discovered that you could actually be a storyteller. And I did it voluntarily for many years and said, someday I will be a professional. And when I was 36, I said, okay, so what are you waiting for? And I took the plunge and I have loved it ever since. It's led to amazing opportunities like this. One of my favorite fairy tales is Jack and the Beanstalk. It's a pretty common one, but the interesting thing is I'm a school teacher and a lot of my students have never actually heard the whole thing. If it hasn't been made into a movie by Disney, they might not have experienced it. So I'm going to tell you the story of Jack and the Beanstalk. There was once a boy named Jack who lived with his mother, and they were very, very poor. They were always struggling to make ends meet and struggling to have enough food. And one day things had gotten so bad that she said to Jack, the mother said to Jack, she said, I want you to take our cow to market and I want you to sell it for as much as you can because we need the money more than we need the cow. And they were sorry to see it go, but Jack was an obedient guy. And so he took the cow, he led it by a rope into the market. But before he got to the market, he was met by a man who was very interested in the cow that Jack had. And he said, I'm willing to buy Milky White from you. And Jack said, great, how much money do you have? And he said, I have something better than money. You see, I have here 3 magic beans. And if you trade your cow for these magic beans, I promise you, you will make your fortune. Jack was impressed and he was very intrigued. And in the end, he did trade his cow for 3 magic beans. He went home to his mother and he told her what had happened. And she was furious. How could you do that? We needed the money and you traded the cow for 3 beans. Are you serious right now? And she took those beans and in her anger, she threw them out the window and she sent Jack to bed without supper. That night, an amazing thing happened. Those beans sprouted and they grew and they grew and they grew and they grew into these amazing vines that twisted and turned and went up, up, up into the sky. And it just kept going up. And it was wide at the base and there were lots of leaves and branches. And the next morning, both Jack and his mother were astonished. That man hadn't lied. They really were magic beans. Well, Jack, he looked up at that stalk and he said, I wonder where it leads. And so he got some supplies and he told his mother, he says, I'm going to explore. I want to see what's up there. And she said, you be careful. And he said, oh, yeah, I will. And he went and he started to climb that beanstalk. It was really easy because there were so many leaves and branches. And he climbed and he climbed and he climbed until he went up above the clouds. And as he peeked through the cloud cover, suddenly he found himself in a completely other world. There was this kingdom there. And there were, trees and flowers and branches and bushes and a castle, a big castle just up there in the clouds. He followed a cloud path to that castle and he knocked on the door. Now, this castle, it was huge. That door was not a human-sized door. It was massive. It was 3 times his height. And when that door opened, it was opened by a woman who was a giant. She was huge. And Jack looked up and he said, oh, ma'am, I'm so sorry. I was wondering if perhaps there's a job that I could do for you or something, because I'm up here to seek my fortune. And she said, oh, this is a bad place, Jack, for you to seek your fortune. My husband is a terrible, cruel giant who likes to eat boys just like you. But she says, I do have some things that you could do for me. If you do that, I will hide you and try to keep you safe. And she invited Jack in and she gave him something to eat. And when she heard the thundering footsteps of her husband, she said, quick, hide in the sugar bowl. This was a massive sugar bowl, and he crouched there in the sugar bowl as he heard the heavy footsteps of the giantess's husband. And he called out, fee, fi, fo, fum, I smell the blood of an Englishman. Be he alive or be he dead, I'll grind his bones to make my bread. And he said, woman, what is it I smell? I smell boy. Please tell me that's what we're having for lunch. And she said, no, I've roasted you a cow. Now sit down and eat your lunch. And he did. He ate his lunch and he ate it until he was full, full, full. And then he called for his wife and he said, bring me my gold. And the wife went and brought several bags of gold. And Jack, peeking up from the sugar bowl, he watched as that giant stacked and counted coin after coin after coin. And these coins were large enough that even one of them would keep he and his mother fed and happy for a long time. Well, the giant, full of cow, started to get sleepy. And he soon fell asleep, snoring right there at the table. And Jack, realizing that the giant was asleep, he crept out of the sugar bowl. He went over to the table and he heaved up one of those bags of gold. And he went running out of the castle with it. And he climbed down the beanstalk and he gave it to his mother. And she was thrilled. This was exactly everything that she was hoping for and praying for. They were able to pay off their debts. They were able to pay for the house. They were able to get food again. And in time, the money did start to dwindle. And Jack, looking at that giant beanstalk, he said, I'm going back up. And she said, oh, Jack, you be careful. You be careful. And Jack, he told her, I've got this, Mom. I'll be careful. And he went climbing that beanstalk even more quickly the first time because he knew what was up there. He got up to the top. He went up to the castle. He knocked at the door, and the giantess answered, and she said, I don't need any boys to help me this day because the last boy that I tried to get to help me, he stole some of our gold and that little thief, and he took off with it. I haven't had a boy here since. And he said, oh, no, ma'am, I'm willing to help you with anything you have. And she said, then come on in. And when her husband came stomping in, she quickly hit him in the sugar bowl again. Fee, fi, fo, fum, I smell the blood of an Englishman. Be he alive or be he dead, I'll grind his bones to make my bread. Woman, I smell boy. I haven't smelled boy here in a while. And she said, oh, it's nothing. It's nothing. Husband, please sit down and eat. And when he had eaten his fill, he called for his hen. And the hen was brought in, and he would say, hen, lay. And Jack, peeking from the sugar bowl, was astonished because that hen laid a gold egg right on command. This magical hen could lay gold eggs. They'd be rich. Whenever they needed something, they could just say, hen, lay, and that would solve any money problems that they ever had. Soon, the giant got sleepy, and the giant again fell asleep, snoring right there at the table. And that's when Jack crept out of the sugar bowl, and he went over, took hold of that hen, and he went running out that castle door and down that beanstalk to his mother. He gave her the chicken, and she said, really? A chicken? But he said, no, Mom, look, hen lay. And wouldn't you know it, the hen laid a golden egg. Oh, his mother was thrilled. They were so excited, and they had plans to make about what they could do, where they could move. They could move into a nicer home. They could move into a nicer area. It was an amazing time. But Jack had the adventure bug tickling him, and he said, I want to go back up the beanstalk. And she said, no, you stole a magical thing from the giant. He's not going to let that go by idly. And he said, I'll be careful. And this is the last time. And so he climbed up that beanstalk, and he went and he knocked at that door, and the giantess answered. And she said, "All right, you, I will let you in, but the last two boys have stolen from us, and my husband will not be happy if he's stolen from again." And he said, "No, no, ma'am, honest, I would never do that." And she said, "All right." And when she heard her husband coming, she had him hide in the sugar bowl. The husband ate his lunch. He called for his harp. And when the harp was brought, the giant said, "Harp, play something beautiful." And that harp started to play music on command. It was magic and it was beautiful. And if the giant said, "Harp, play something lively," it would play cheerful, peppy music that you could almost jig to. And when he said, "Harp, play something like a lullaby," it played the softest, sweetest lullaby that the giant soon became very sleepy and fell asleep right there, snoring. And that's when Jack crept out of the sugar bowl and he went to grab hold of the harp. But as soon as he grabbed hold of that harp and went to run out of the castle, the harp cried out, "Help! Oh, help! Somebody's trying to steal me!" And that was when the giant woke up. And oh, he was angry. He started to chase after Jack. Jack had to run for his life because those giant's steps were much bigger than his. He had to run 50 steps while that giant just took one. Jack ran for his life as fast as he could go with that harp screaming, "Help! Help!" And the giant saying, "Fee, fi, fo, fum," with a big old club in his hand as he ran for Jack. Jack made it to the beanstalk. He climbed down as fast as he could, almost sliding like you would a fire pole. And he climbed as fast as he could. And as soon as he could see his house, he started screaming for his mother. "Mother, mother, quickly get the axe." His mother didn't waste any time. She went into the house. She grabbed an axe. And as Jack slid to the ground, he grabbed that axe and he started chopping down the beanstalk right as the giant was coming down the beanstalk after him. Jack's mother looked up, her face paled, her mouth wide as that giant came coming down. She said, "He's huge. He's going to kill us both." Jack used that axe as fast as he could. And just as the giant was coming down enough that he could just step down onto them, that beanstalk fell over and he fell down and was killed. Jack hugged his mother and he said, "Well, I am never going up there again." But that was all right because they had money enough. They were wealthy at that point. And I can tell you that Jack and his mother lived happily ever after. The end. Now, I was asked to tell a story that had a personal touch for me. And this really does, because you see, for me, Jack and the Beanstalk is a true story. Now, see, it wasn't Jack. It was an ancestor of mine. She was a pioneer who settled in Kansas. And she had a rich aunt. And that rich aunt was from England. And when she got married, she had expected a gift from that rich aunt. They were farmsteading, and they did not have very much money at all. They were just making things ends meet in a small, teeny little cabin, trying to plow fields and have enough to get through the winter when a package arrived. And oh, this girl, she was thinking, what could it be? What on earth would my rich aunt send me? A luxury, perhaps, that they just could not afford? Maybe some fine dishes or silverware or nice tablecloths, candlesticks? She was so excited when she opened up that package. And to her disappointment, it was a box of peach pits. A box of peach pits. Her aunt from England sent a present and it was a box of peach pits. She was so disappointed. She was everything that she had possibly imagined to get. That was the last thing it ever occurred to her. And the letter said that it was white peaches. Well, great. What was she going to do with a bunch of peach pits? So what did she do? She threw them out onto a compost pile. It did not grow into a beanstalk overnight. But after a time, those peach pits did sprout and soon became seedlings. And her husband said, "You know, all those peach pits, we've got several like baby peach trees out there on the compost pile. Well, since they had them, they weren't going to let them go to waste, so they planted them. These tiny little trees, and they planted them in rows, and those tiny little trees grew into bigger trees over time, and they produced peaches. And later, many, many years later, when those trees were much bigger and they were much, much older and had kids that were almost grown, there was something called the Great Depression that hit. And the Great Depression was a time when people didn't have money and didn't have a lot of food, but they had a peach orchard. And they always had peaches, and they traded those peaches and sold those peaches and took care of their family with a peach orchard, a gift from a rich aunt. I think about those magic beans thrown out the window, and I think about a box of peach pits thrown out to the compost heap. And, maybe those things are magic. Thank you.
The Story Arc is a production of Food for Thought Audio. This episode was written, produced, and edited by me, Kenny Mears. We'd like to thank today's storyteller, Julie Barneson, for sharing her story. Julie is a member of the Utah Storytelling Guild. Be sure to check her out and the Guild at utahstorytellingguild.website. For more of Julie's work, be sure to check out her website at talesbyjulie.com. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, YouTube, or Instagram, or wherever you listen to podcasts for more content. And until next time, thanks for listening.